Money Matters is brought to you by Petso Financial Consultants. Their team of certified financial planners have been educating their clients to build confidence and find peace with their money for over 35 years. Also by Michelle Oliver of Finance of America Mortgage, lending products for all the stages of your financial life. By HH & Associates Accounting, we aren't just accountants, we provide solutions. By Mountain West Bank, your community bank, with 8 branches in the Treasure Valley. Now, here's Dave Petso on KIDO Talk Radio.
And blessed to be a part of your day, Kevin Miller in the morning on KIDO Talk Radio, 580 AM and 107.5 FM. Joining us now is our friend Dave Petso from the Petso Center, Petso Financial, on Facebook and on Twitter. Money Matters, Saturdays from 8 to 10. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So we take a look at what's going on in the world. We've got the Korean situation. We've got Donald Trump with the Stormy Daniels. We've got things going on here locally. People can't afford homes. Dealer's choice, where would you like to begin today?
How about Apple earnings being so good and blowing away the bears again?
Let's go with the three that I...
Those three? Which one? Okay. All right.
Let's go to people not being able to afford homes because the median home price now has gotten just about, what, 100 grand over it was, I think from Maggie's report, over, what, 100 grand over it was just even 6 months or a year ago.
Yeah.
So you have people that are doing everything correctly. They're getting the financing. They're getting pre-approved and no homes for them. It's as if Seattle has replaced the Treasure Valley.
Right. And Seattle, of course, is the Treasure Valley on steroids. You're right. This is a big problem really across the United States and any of the growing communities is finding affordable housing that's anywhere near the core of the of that particular area, the core of the city. And so we're finding that people have to move way, way out here. And that's inevitable when we have this kind of growth. It's a blessing to have growth, but when we have this much growth, so many people moving in with so much money coming from California, you know, you sell a home there for $1 million and or $500,000 if you lived way out of the city, you're coming here and soaking up all of that available housing.
Right. And then you take a look at people that should be able to get a home and they can't get a home. And this is a real dilemma. Now, is this capitalism, my capitalistic friend, at its best, or is this just crazy?
Well, it's both. I mean, obviously, capitalism is the freedom to move where you want to move and therefore create demand in that community and drive prices higher. It's not going to distribute that. People don't want to live in the middle of the Nevada desert. They just don't. Don't blame them. I've driven through there. We all have. And that would just be not the same as living in the Treasure Valley, would it? So demand for houses is going to be a lot higher here. And if you live on a river, you look at the foothills, you have that kind of, or you're close in, it's just too expensive for most people. That's what most cities face. And again, you're not going to create overnight affordable housing. They are obviously doing some things or trying to do some things to create more affordable housing. But then again, we get into government solutions to a problem. Usually that leads to more problems.
Well, but then again, you have this unfettered growth going on and you have people building apartment complexes that, you know, the rent there is about the size of a house payment.
It really is. We still are in that interesting area, aren't we?
Indeed. And I'm sitting here looking at one of these publications and they're talking about Star, Idaho. And I don't really, you know, I live in Star, Idaho and it's great and it's fun and it's exciting and, you know, the old days when you didn't have, you know, you've got a Bi-Mart now, you're going to have an Albertsons. But the point of the piece was, this is good that they're going to add 3,000 homes to a population of, I don't know, 3,000, now doubling essentially the size of the city, because that will force people to take the bus.
Right.
Well, there's no bus.
Right.
So it's going to force more government spending.
Yeah.
And why do we vilify people that want to get in their car to have the freedom to go get maybe a little bit more for their money, what have you, and drive into work. No, we're going to make them take the bus and then we're going to tax people to pay for the bus,
right?
So people won't have to pay for their cars.
Because it can't pay for itself.
Right.
It's really not economically viable. Another perfect government solution.
Exactly. And I'm thinking to myself, and they're promoting this in this publication as the paper is such a good thing, and I'm going, well, no, not perhaps it's time to take a look at responsible and constructive growth. And my question to you is,
yeah,
are there really 3,000 more people that are going to go into this tiny outlet? When's the last time you were in Star? Maybe you were a guest at the Governor's Ranch. I don't know.
No,
I've never
not.
Been there. But you know what I'm saying.
I do. No, I think that Star, the reason you like Star is because it's not exciting. You said it's a place where you go, it's quiet, it's relaxed, it's kicked back. If you want excitement, downtown Boise offers excitement. Places in Meridian offer excitement.
Middleton. Is exciting.
It is, compared to Star, perhaps, but I haven't really thought of it as a destination excitement point. But
it's one of the best-kept secrets of the Treasure Valley.
Not anymore. It's out
right.
now.
Right.
You have announced it. But it is. But that's the reason why. And I'm afraid with 3,000 people more, just like you, Kevin, I don't think that's what Star wants, needs, wishes for. It's great and groovy when you have your home prices go up, but you have to have a place to live, and your lifestyle's going away. You know, we all talk about that when you're in a neighborhood, you're out living in a place that's a little bit more removed. And then as development, a house getting in front of your view, you have to wait to get out of your neighborhood when you used to not
sure.
have to. All of those things are a detriment to the lifestyle that you sought by moving to that place.
And you look at, it's funny, I was doing some recon over the weekend at Horseshoe Bend. There's some building going on there, but it seems like now the new remote places to get away from it all are Emmett
yep.
and Horseshoe Bend.
Yeah. Yeah, Horseshoe Bend was, I mean, come on. I'm not trying to insult the people in Horseshoe Bend. I'm sure that this is not politically correct, but Horseshoe Bend, when you're driving through, is, oh my gosh, who lives here? It was that way for a long,
about
long
800,
time.
About 800 now, people, yeah, about
right,
800 people. Yeah.
Right, and now it's starting to grow again, to your point. People are trying to move out to try to get some of that old lifestyle that we had, we had just on the outskirts of town.
You could almost say that, you know, what the transformation has happened in 5 years. Now, you're not a big government guy. By the way, our friend Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller here. Question about your money, the markets, finances, or life. We're going to start a new segment, not the outrage of the week. Dave's starting that already. But, advice from Petzl. Here we go.
Yeah. These
life lessons from Dave at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. So you take a look at where we were 5 or 6 years ago, empty subdivisions, wonderful things we called fields where people planted crops and they grew them and then they mm-hmm. harvested them. Now subdivisions everywhere. I was talking to a young couple at Fred Meyer yesterday morning, and they're telling me about they went to a couple of these subdivisions, and it's like a suburb of Sacramento in there.
Yeah.
All the Californians are coming in. Now, I'm not saying that's all bad, except when they don't change their plates and blah, blah, blah. But have we ever seen anything in your time here where this massive influx of people from one particular state?
No, we haven't. And you know, it's an interesting thing. It's so sad to see, really, when you think about California. The exodus, every single publication is talking
about. Build that wall.
That's right. No wonder they want people to be a sanctuary state. So many people are leaving, they need to replace those people.
Right. I don't want Idaho to be the sanctuary state, though. I want to build the wall.
Build a wall against California.
Yes, yes.
And
Oregon
exactly.
and Washington, folks.
Exactly. The good news is that we're getting the best of California. The bad news is all these people are moving here. Kevin, I've never seen anything like this. This is absolutely crazy. It's insane, and we're seeing that in other spots too. Actually, people in California have been moving to Oregon and Washington as well. They're moving out.
Yeah, big article in the New York Times how your beloved city, Reno, is getting impacted by that. Let's get back to the idea of the housing market.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this happens at the Petzl Estates, but mm-hmm. I'm getting maybe 2 or 3 times a week these lovely door hangers from these realtors that are telling me they care about me.
Yeah.
They want the best for me. And oh, by the way, it's time to sell your home.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't know where I'm going to live, but it's time to get because the money's as good.
Tents are cheap.
Yeah.
I know. It is. Times are good if you were going to go ahead and die and leave or just move to another state.
I like how you said die. How about just leave or move to another
state?
Okay.
Yeah, and maybe those things encourage people to
go. Maybe the balloon goes up and it's time to go.
People can rediscover the desert of Nevada.
They can discover the great Southeast, the Midwest, east of the Great River. Mm-hmm. Then you'll know what it's like to live in a cramped, crowded community. Back to the point, though, the housing bubble. You know, I was doing a little research for this segment. I was speaking with another young lady who was in the home industry, and she said, Kevin Miller, this is what I saw in 08, 09. You have the realtors. They're getting more and more properties. They're buying the bigger cars. They want the fancier this. And she said, you know, it's all going to happen again.
No, it's not. No. See, we were over leveraged. We had liar loans. All those things that were, we had a government policy that required loans be given to people that were never going to repay them. We do not have any of those conditions at all. None. We have a hot real estate market, but that hot market is being driven by cash, by a tremendous amount of wealth being created in the middle, upper middle income, as well as, of course, the wealthy. But the wealthy have always been there. That's not been a problem for them. But now you're seeing people, average people, generating a great amount of wealth because the economy is so good.
See, this is where I respectfully disagree with you. We have this, and I love when they're calling homes used now. What the bleep? Well, if you want to buy a used home, bleepity bleep bleep bleep. Are you kidding me? So, back to this. Eventually, the mass exodus from California is going to stop. They're going to go bankrupt. That's going to impact the people buying. In addition to that, you're going to have these builders.
Yep.
And God bless the builders that build these homes and these subdivisions. That's putting it out there.
Yep.
You know, that's, you know, putting all the chips in. On the other hand, sooner or later, you're going to have, I think it's only a matter of time before you have the market slowing down. You're going to have people stuck with a bunch of homes. We saw that in the Balkans.
Yeah.
You know, we should have went out, and I wanted to take all of your money mm-hmm. and invest in those old trailers that were, you know, sat dormant for about a year or two, and I'm sure they're selling out now. But
you are. I haven't seen the man camps again yet. But.
Well, that's because they're another best-kept secret, like Middleton. Telling you, great pizza shop in Middleton. Anyway, back to the point here at KIDO Talk Radio. Can't you see a day when the endless road has to stop?
Yeah, you can. And it's not, but we're not going back to 2008. That's not what's going to happen. What I'm saying is that, yes, we will have cyclical markets. Interest rates are rising. Maybe that's what tips it here in another year or
two. How does that impact that? How do interest rates tip this to maybe slow it down
affordability, size of those houses. So if you're talking about so many people chasing those that are what's available out there, you're going to see that slow down. How about the affordability to move from California? If interest rates are higher, you can't afford to just come out and assume you're going to get a job in Idaho to be able to support a home here, especially with prices rising. So in between that, prices rising, the economy is good, and the city's running, you know, just perfectly right now. I'm not saying they're not blowing a bunch of money, but it's really there's such excess money coming into the city right now. This is everything's on fire and it's good, but we're going to have to see it slow down, and it will at some point in time. But I just don't like the talk of it's just like it was. It's going to be just like it was. Number one, when we have terrible calamities like 2008, it never is exactly like that.
Maybe not exactly like that, but you have people. I think her point was making the same mistakes.
People will always make the same mistakes. Unfortunately, history should be a more popular thing, but it's not. And people do make the same mistakes over and over again and curse the system, but instead of learning from it. But we are in a circumstance where I hope that people will start learning from what's happening.
More with Dave Pezzo next. Maybe we'll talk about Apple. You really want to talk about Apple. You were kind of almost gloating on that one.
Well, it is fun to see all the pundits have their head handed to them for the 23rd time in a row. That's really nice to see.
Yeah. That's coming up next. KIDO Talk Radio. And Dave Pezzo with us as we continue on, the host of Money Matters at the Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. You can catch Dave, weekdays, Monday here, 7 to 7:30, and Saturdays 8 to 10. Of course, anytime on Facebook and Twitter and on Channel 7. So before we get back to talking about the big election coming up, maybe we'll do Petso's picks. Of course, we could do that next week.
We are. Okay.
But we could. But before that, you were talking about Apple. You were talking about just some of the big box office like successes that we've had in the market recently.
Yeah, there have. There's been a number of companies that are just knocking the cover off the ball. They really are. And they have been, whether it's some of the financials that have been doing well, the market hasn't been doing well. It hasn't been doing poorly. It just, you have all this great news, but the market isn't going up. And so this has led people to become more and more bold about doing their normal top picking, market's about to crash nonsense that they do all the time. It's just another reason to talk about why the market is clearly going to crash any second now. And it misses the point that this the same people that have been saying this over and over and over and over again for literally 10,000 points or 20,000 points. They are the constant doom and gloom. But when it comes to a company like Apple, they find that they have to make some kind of a call every quarter that this is it. And this is a company that generates, as we all know, has over $100 billion in cash. They can do anything they want. They generate massive amounts, billions of dollars of free cash flow every quarter. They pay out in the form of a dividend, stock buybacks. It's been an incredible story. But for some reason, people feel like they need to try to call the top. And here they go again. They did it. This time it got very, very, very loud. And people piled on and talked about how Apple was clearly losing out in sales. Well, they didn't. They don't. And the stock actually last week hit an all-time high after all the doom and gloom talk. And again, it just shows us, just don't listen to these people. They are just negative all the time. And they have for years, decades, been negative. And it just shows, really, even with one microcosm, one company, how much negativity there is and how wrong it is.
Dave Petzl joining us here. Kevin Miller in the morning at KIDO Talk Radio. Let's get to the end of the line. We're just a few days away from the end of the largest, most expensive, longest primary in Idaho history.
Yep.
Your thoughts?
Well, it's good that it's coming to an end at the same time. It's weird to think of the election being decided in May, right? And I think that's going to be the key, is which candidate is going to be able to get their constituents to make sure that they show up and vote on a day that's really not an election day, right? It's not thought of that way. It doesn't have that same feeling like I've got to get out and vote. I feel that way, Kevin, but I vote. I'm involved, if you will. I personally like to get out and vote. And so, as far as driving the general public out, I just don't see it happening. And it's going to be up to that, if you will, that grassroots effort. Will all the people that said they would vote for me, will they come out and vote for me? That candidate will be the one that wins.
A lot of money involved in voting when you think about it, in running for office.
Oh.
Just even if you buy signs and you're going to go, well, Kevin, signs aren't cheap, and then to put them out there.
Yeah.
Tons on the road. Well, I think we're going to out people that don't pick up their signs afterwards.
I like it.
I think that'll be one of our missions. But, think about this, that you have on the Democratic side, the governor's race, you've got A.J. Belukoff, Paulette Jordan, which, because there's a contested Democratic primary, the Democrats, I think, will be more inclined to stay Democrat as opposed to trying to play shenanigans with the Republicans when you have Steve Pankey, Raul Labrador, Tommy Ahlquist, and Brad Little running. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at these candidates, I mean, they're first-rate, first team. It'll be interesting to see how the voters react to the shock and awe of advertising, both radio, which is the most effective means of reaching your voters. Oh, you know how it goes. So the reason why radio, talk radio, is more effective than any other form, people will say, look, I can do a digital dizzle and a dazzle and this, that, and the other, and those are good things. But the people that listen to talk radio are more inclined to vote, to be activists, to be part of the process. Remember, we're talking about primary voters, the people that know the issues, that go to the town halls that host candidates, right? You know, if you're playing Michael Bolton, chances are you're not going to be going to this this primary. So we take a look at the matchups. And, you know, you give A.J. Belukoff a lot of credit. He's running again, spending a lot of his money and raising a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on the Belukoff candidacy? We've touched on it a little. And, you know, look, Paulette Jordan, she could win as well. But if you were betting money, most people think that A.J. Belukoff is going to win on the Democratic side.
I would think so, because he's the only one that can run a campaign that has any chance of winning against a Republican, and I don't think he has a chance to win. But it's I think it's commendable that he runs. He's obviously a successful man, and I've always been impressed with the character he appears to have, in that everybody who knows him likes him, and I think that's a telling thing, that he has been an honorable person in business, and we can't say that about most all candidates. So I think that's a really big plus. I don't happen to agree with him politically, but I wish him well as a human being. I think he seems to be a very good guy.
Well, I think what the Democrats are counting on is the Republicans being fractured after a contentious primary season. How do you see that?
I see them all coming back together like all the parties do.
Everybody coming back home.
Everybody comes back home and votes right for their Republican candidate. You bet.
Well, and that's why we want you to join us May 17th at Terry's Cafe, for as we bring everybody together. And then we'll have the unity rally after that. But the unity breakfast first. It's always good to have a unity breakfast first.
I think it's a great idea. Absolutely it is. Yes. Yes.
What should we be looking out for this week, Dave Pezzo?
Again, I say earnings, obviously each quarter we say earnings for about a month because they are a big driver. And again, as long as these companies come through with numbers, remember this, good earnings are good. It is good. It's good news. And traders, machines, whatever's driving the market day to day is a temporary thing. The fact is that corporate profits are, as Larry Kudlow says, the mother's milk of the market. And it is a very important part of the market. It is the market. And when they're good, the market will be good. It doesn't mean it's good today, but it is a good thing. And if we are sitting around watching market activity day to day, we really can miss the big picture. We really can. We can miss the forest through the trees. So it's a very important thing to focus on what the fundamentals are. And they are unbelievably good right now. We have never seen... we haven't in decades seen a market like this, an economy like this, where corporate profits are this strong and the economy is continuing to grow. So whether you like Donald Trump or not, he is presiding right now over a perfect situation.
Dave Pezzo, we will catch you this Saturday at Money Matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're listening to Kevin Miller on KIDO Talk Radio.
Hello, good morning, and thank you again for joining us. I'm sorry to come to you by phone today, but no option. A family situation that took me out of state. Got moved up. Unfortunately, somebody is very, very ill. So we're dealing with all that, and I hope you don't mind being on the phone this week. You know, it was a great couple of days to be out of the office this week. And I'll tell you, it's not just because the market did so good. I think it's also because I didn't have to hear how somehow a nuclear deal in Iran, because Trump did it, is bad. Somehow I didn't have to hear how over and over again how if we are going to be moving forward with good economic news, which we had all week long, and the market was up, I didn't have to hear how that was coincidental. And clearly Donald Trump's fault somehow, somewhere, that something is going wrong. And the reason is not, it's not just political, that the problem from my perspective, I think it's a problem anyway. I think that false reporting, that trying to figure out why a nuclear deal would be bad, how trying to fix drug prices is an awful thing, and how he must have somehow let them off the hook. I love what the senator from Oregon said, that it just didn't go far enough. Well, where was your plan for the last, I think he's been in Congress, in the Senate for 30 years. Where was your plan for that? Of course, it doesn't go far enough when you have no plan and you turn around and the people that are supposed to not have a plan, the people that aren't supposed to care about stuff like healthcare and fixing it, jump out in front and actually try to fix it. And this just goes on, and we all know this all week. So it was nice to be out and to have a cleaner perspective that, and I mean this in all sincerity, a cleaner perspective that, wow, we've gone from a market that's been really upset. Normal correction, of course, but it's upset, okay, whether it's rising interest rates, budget deficits, it's whatever Trump's fault something is. And things are all of a sudden okay. You know, corporate profits are good, and you know what? Now all of a sudden people are going, you know, those corporate profits are good. Just exactly what we've been talking about. And I don't mean that like a pat on the back. What I'm trying to say is, just like we've been talking about over the past couple months, A, these corrections are normal, certain to occur over and over again. You can't time them. You can't step aside. And they always look messy and fussy. And you feel like you're missing something because it feels like there's something really wrong. That's a normal feeling. And for us to react to that is, well, crazy. It happens every time. One of these times, actually, we'll slip on into a bear market. And you still shouldn't be reacting to it. We go through these periodically. And the second thing, the really important thing, is we have to focus on the fundamentals that are in front of us, because that's what we can know. We can't know what the machines are going to tee off on, meaning the algorithm that says, as soon as it says, you know, we see interest rates ticking higher, that's bad this week. Next week it might be good or neutral, but this week the algorithm is set that way for trading. And so we see prices tick down for no reason, and very temporary. It could be only a 5-minute, 10-minute, 15-minute move, but that's what we see. And so then the reporters run around and tell you how and why, you know, the cause and effect. Oh, finger in the wind. Let me tell you now why this thing happened, when we don't know. And they have to make up a reason. Interest rates. Yeah, it must be it. And so they ask a trader and they babble something, and right or wrong, they babble something. And then they report it as factual news, as if you should be reacting to that, because now you think interest rates going higher. Well, they are going up. And so you probably better step aside. But then we miss the fundamentals, which is this. Corporate profits are scorching good. Perhaps stocks aren't overpriced at all. That mantra, overpriced, overpriced, we've never been this high, never been this high, that plays well, really well, when markets are tumultuous, when markets are going down. That's a good when they just keep rising. And you look at them and you go, well, what are they really high? Because all of a sudden when corporate profits come out and they're up 18%, do they really seem that high? And the answer, of course, is no, they're not that high. The prices are fixing themselves. And they never were that high in the first place, even at higher interest rates. It all does have to matter. You do have to have some relation to other investments, because money's going to go somewhere. So if money's going to go into cash, earning near zero, does that make sense? I think I'll pull out of stocks because they're overpriced relative to what? Their historic norm when interest rates were higher? They're high if corporate profits aren't growing? They're high if regulations are increasing? They're high if in fact, we have an anti-business president. All of those things we don't have. But we cling to the same mantra. And, of course, the bears are have been wrong for thousands and thousands of points continue to bang the same drum. And when we get corrections, people overreact. They bring the bears out. And the bears act like they really were all super smart, even though they've had you out of the market since it was at 15,000. Or worse. They always have you out. There's always a big problem, and you need to stay out. And we miss all those fundamentals. So when we kind of pull away for a day or two, get away from the, we hate Trump, so if the sky, if it's a declaration, he has the power somehow to make every day sunshine and roses and puppy dogs and happy times. That'd be a bad thing. So when tax rates get cut, that's bad. When regulations get cut, that's bad. Corporate profits skyrocketing must be bad. Unemployment rate under 4% has to be a horror show. An actual deal with North Korea? Maybe? Horrifying. That's the news we hit every day. And when that hits and hits and hits, how do we have clarity? How can things be clear when all we ever hear is doom and gloom? Doom and gloom. Our number here is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. I've got lots of other numbers, stats, if you will, about what's going on. We've got our offense of the week. This one was a true offense. I'm not kidding. I'm not making this one up. This was weird to me right in Boise, Idaho. I'll tell you about it in our second hour today. But we have continued fake news every day, and it is hard for us to dissect. And I don't want to jump on the Trump's always right bandwagon. That's not my point. That's not my point at all. But I think we have to point things out when we see headlines that the market caves on Iranian deal. Not true. Market was unchanged that day. When we see oil prices rise because of the Iranian deal being nixed. Not true. They actually fell the day of the announcement. They fell all day the day of the announcement. Totally made up, 100% fake. But you don't know that. You just see a headline. Which ones are right? Which ones are wrong? Sometimes maybe if you don't know, we just shouldn't read because we don't know. Market drops because Trump nixes the deal. You know, we're up to positive territory this year now. I just missed that big drop part. Didn't you? No apologies. You don't have to. Doesn't make any difference. And I know sometimes we just shake our head and go, isn't that just terrible? It is terrible. It's truly terrible for our country, for our world, that people can make up anything they want, report it as news, and people listen and take it in. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. 580-KIDO, that is our number. If you prefer, email us, Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to our friend Jim. Jim, thanks for calling. Go ahead, please.
How's it going, Dave?
Excellent. Thank you.
Hang in there. Anyway.
Hanging in there.
You know, as to you were talking about stocks possibly being overpriced or whatever, well, I think this is where the individual education comes in. People should have a, you know, basic knowledge of say, ratios, you know, profit to earnings. You know, if something is 20 times earnings, is that good or bad? Have some basic knowledge. It's kind of like a card game. You need to know the rules of the game, how everybody's playing by it. And then you can figure yourself whether something's overpriced or not.
That's true. You know, it's a fair point. I think that... people don't, and at the same time, we talk often too, Jim, about the idea that you don't need to know a lot to get rich in the market. You don't. It's always helpful to know more about a game, to be a better card player, if you will, better poker player. But what's different is we're not playing against each other. We can all just get on board. And so when we don't know the rules, I don't want to give people the impression that if you don't understand, relative PE ratios and things like that, I think you should. I don't have any problem with that. But you don't actually have to get rich doing, you know, investing in the market. Because as Warren Buffett pointed out over the weekend, a small amount of money invested over a long period of time is a great deal of money. I'm going to talk about that in the second hour, so I don't want to go too much into detail, but it's not even close to other investments. And I think that I agree with what you're saying from PE ratios, but it goes further than our PE ratios high. People like to use that, blow it up, and the financial press, including the Wall Street Journal, which I think is the best newspaper in the world, they don't have stuff to talk about most days. They really don't. And so they have to talk about things like this and give press consistently. But when you get on most news sites, it's all negative all the time, 100% of the time. And so they are always talking about how prices are so terribly we're so terribly overpriced when they're not. So both are true. We want to be, educated. And at the same time, I want people to understand you don't have to know a lot, but you do have to learn to ignore all the pundits who are talking about how expensive it is, because a 20 PE can be expensive or it can be very, very cheap. On yeah. Google, it's proven to be very, very, very cheap.
They wouldn't need to know so much, I guess, if they're buying mutual funds. But you know what's interesting is it takes Buffett, for instance, somebody like Buffett, to tell yep. people that putting money into a Bitcoin is not investing. Then you know right. we're in trouble.
You know, I agree with you. I don't know why. Well, I guess I do know why. Actually, I just answered my own question, at least in my head. And that is why we're so fascinated with something as absurd as Bitcoin. And there's really two reasons. It's new, and it was going up in price, right? But then further, I think the thing that we've got to recognize in regards to Bitcoin is that the news media doesn't have anything to talk about every day. So they hype it. I remember when CNBC had a little Bitcoin thing, you know, bug. Talk about absurd, but that's what we end up with, right? Is yep. we've got to talk about Bitcoin and what it is, and hyper pricing, and we've got to pull on some hedge fund managers and ask them if they're buying or they're selling, and things like that. And then you're right. It takes a Buffett, or in this case, Charlie Munger, to come out and go, "What do you think about Bitcoin? I think it's turds," is what he said.
You know,
that was daggone funny.
What's so weird is, I mean, we've gotten into an era when anything new is obviously good, you know, whether it's an mm-hmm. Apple iPhone. But when the millennium changed and we went into the 2000s, they were talking about the new economy, right? Assets didn't matter. Income didn't matter. Nothing mattered like it used to, you know. They had discovered, right. you know, like the alchemist back whenever, you know, they were turning metal into gold and things were glorious.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean,
new discoveries are.
Asinine.
Well, our overreaction is asinine, or that, you know, we're never, ever going to make a piece of steel again. It's all going to be about eyeball views. And then we see these bubbles develop. But we also have to be really careful, because I hear it all the time. Aren't we in a bubble? Aren't we in a bubble? Aren't we in a bubble? Because they hear from the pundits how stock prices are just so high. So high, so high, so high. And when you break it out and you look at a stock like Google, or let's not use Google, because they're actually quite profitable. And relative to earnings and growth rate, it's been a very cheap stock, and I think it still is. They have all kinds of other potential issues, whether it's government trust busting, things like that that may come along. But when we talk about things like price to earnings ratios, you have to relate it to the growth. And we also have to relate it to companies that are growing so fast that they aren't making profits. But I'm very pleased to have a little bit of Amazon and have a little bit of Netflix. And again, I have a more growth-oriented portfolio than, say, you do, Jim. But these are companies that really have astronomically high P.E. ratios, and they're very important to the S&P. But when you weigh them in, and you should, and they do, and then come to the conclusion that all companies everywhere, including Apple, trading at 10 times earnings, is high priced, it is misleading, it's wrong, and that's when we get people, you know, quoting how overpriced the market is. It's really quite ridiculous.
Yep. Well,
Jim, thank you, sir.
Well, anyway, take care, and hope a lot of people call in.
I appreciate you calling in, Jim. Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. As I mentioned, I'm going to talk a little bit about Buffett's big annual meeting last weekend. Just a couple of interesting bullet points, if you will, that I really want to touch on. And I'll talk about that in a lot of depth in the next hour. Also, not so funny this time, offense-wise. It just shows the characteristic of what's acceptable, what's not, when we're offended and what we're not. So my offense of the week coming up next hour as well. Continued discussion, of course, regarding all the fake news that came out this past week. And it is important to understand. We take a step back. We see stocks rocking. We see stocks coming back off of their lows again, till we're actually positive year to date. We see all this happening, and yet somehow it's kind of a negative thing because we have to continue to report how negative it is. Now think about this during the break, and we'll touch on this more. Record buyback and dividend increases in this quarter. Record amount this quarter alone. Never been higher. Corporations have a ton of cash. A ton. And they're using it. This is a very, very, very strong market right now. We'll be back after the break. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Hour number two upcoming, and of course, these are my opinions and my opinions only. They're not this station, a broker-dealer, or anything like that, and we're not here to help you buy, 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 or sell, sell, sell. In fact, we're the antidote to that. We don't believe in that at all. It's absurd. The world is full of fake news, of overly dramatized everything, and it's just so hard to take a step back. And that's what we want to talk about. It helps me a lot to talk about it. What do you talk about all the time? I don't know what we talk about all the time. We talk about trying to behave well in markets that are difficult to behave in a world that is getting faster and faster and dumber, and it is. This is the easiest, hardest game in the whole world. You don't have to do anything to make 10% a year except behave. And people don't. And we make much of it. It's all about behaving well. I suppose much of life is, but it certainly is in the financial markets. And as in a good example of that, I want to relate to something from Buffett's meeting. You know, where thousands of people come and descend on, and they go into a hours-long Q&A. But one of the things that they opened up with this year was Buffett talked about his first investment experience in 1942. About buying a stock and quickly selling it as it, you know, of course, he made $5. I think it was $5.25 is what he made. And in his first experience, so good for him. He had done his homework. He had really worked hard getting it right. And you know what? He got it right. He truly did. Nailed it. He absolutely nailed it. Except that he sold. Stock kept zooming. So he made $5 instead of, you know, hundreds or thousands or what have you. But he goes back to talk about, what if you'd invested $10,000 in 1942 at that time, just in the broad index, the S&P 500. 10,000. Think about what that would be worth today. Just pick a number. You're wrong. Unless you heard the number. And the answer is $51 million. $51 million. And here's his point. Here is the point. It required you to do nothing. No management, nothing. You didn't have to collect the rent, fight with a bureaucrat about something. All those battles were fought for you. Doing nothing. It's astounding. You know, I go back and I talk about the cup of coffee illustration, right, that I've been kind of stuck on. You know how we all get stuck on things. That's my stuck on thing right now. A cup of coffee every day. $5 a day for 40 years is over $1.2 million. It's expensive coffee. It doesn't mean we stop living. It means we have to put these things in the right perspective. A little to live on, a little to put away. Give it some time. Don't listen to all the noise. You get rich. How hard is this? Mr. Buffett went on to talk about, if you would have listened to the purveyors of doom and gloom and bought gold in 1942, you would have owned about 300 ounces of gold. Gold produces nothing, but you have your 300 ounces, you put it in a safe. Anytime you want to look, there's 300 ounces in there, just sitting. And those 300 ounces actually did go up in value to $400,000. Time, even if a poor return, can yield results. But here's the difference. 51 million to 400,000 is a lot of difference. A whole lot. And by the way, 1942 to date is really not an extraordinary time in the market. It's an average time. But we take this and we look at it and you realize that for every $100 you have in the market at that price, at that value, you have less than a dollar's worth of gold. More than 100 times. And it required you to do nothing. Now, I'm sure that there's folks out there that are talking about and saying, you know, yeah, but. There are no yeah, but. This is a yeah, but always. There's no guarantee of what the market's going to do tomorrow. There's no guarantee what gold's going to do tomorrow. But the idea that we give thought and give time to, you know, washed up actors pitching gold or silver, or what's in your safe? What's in my safe? Stock certificates. Well, they're not really, because, you know, who keeps selling certificates anymore? That are worth 100 times what your silly gold is worth. And it produces thousands of times, or not, I mean, infinity times, because gold produces nothing. Nothing. Produces dividends, income. I get a share of profits in all the great corporations in the world that I buy and I own, whether it's through mutual funds, ETFs, or individual stocks. 100 to 1. Why do we listen to these people? Why? Is it that we really don't want to get rich? Do we? I mean, what are we doing? This is not a hard thing to do.
You don't have to pick individual stocks. I mean, the S&P 500, which is what we're talking about here, producing over 100 times what gold did. It's just mind-numbing. But the market, the budget deficit's that. But what about inflation? What about QE? What about North Korea? What about Europe is in meltdown, part 1, 2, 3, and 4? Name it, panic of the day. Donald Trump's going to tank the market. Barack Obama is going to destroy America. Whatever it is, whatever the headlines that are then grabbed and manipulated and just really exercised, let's talk about this. Let's dig into this and talk about things. Now, here's the debt bomb about to go off. And then they show some tale of debts rising. Not the overall picture. No. Take it down to the minutia. The tiny piece, which would be right now where we're having a debt bomb explosion, is in student loans. Their student loan deficit is a problem, period. It is. So are you ready? Subprime car loans, a problem. And they are nothing as far as the debt overall. So if we want to pick something, remember, statistics lie, liars use statistics. And so we want to pick this chart or two and show this huge rise and act like it is the most significant thing ever. It's absurd. It's very significant to student loans. It's very significant to people who have loans or give loans on subprime cars. It is not remotely a problem for the gigantic economy that is the United States. And the debt bomb is in great shape overall. That's what we have to measure and be honest about it. But it doesn't make for headlines every day. It just doesn't. All right. Before I go to a break here, I want to touch on this. This is an astounding statistic. In the trailing year, we have record buybacks and dividend increases. Okay, yeah, right. That's great. That's great and groovy. Record. Okay, I know. Because corporations, here's the fake news side of the equation, right? Or the super liberal bias side. Yeah, corporations are making money, but all they're doing is putting it back into buying back stock and making rich people richer. It's not helping the economy. They're not buying capital equipment and stuff like that. Yeah, they are. And I'm not sure where or what part of the state pension funds, union pensions, people's individual IRA accounts, all the businesses out there that put money in an account, what part of record stock prices is bad? What part affects people in a negative way? And the answer is none. There's not one thing you could sit around and say, see, that's bad. The stock market going up is bad. It's good, period. It is good. But on top of that, the idea that this $1 trillion in dividend increases pouring into the economy and buybacks isn't helping the economy is absurd. It does. And further, companies are so cash rich. You think they just go, you know, we're never going to buy another piece of equipment. We're never going to have an economic downturn. We're never, ever going to possibly have to take this dividend increase back. You don't think companies are so cash rich that they, in fact, are spending some of that cash? And they're spending cash in all the areas they deem are going to give them a reasonable return. Why do companies buy back stock? Because it's smart. It's smarter than sitting in the bank. It's smarter use of capital than overpaying for whatever it is they may have to overpay for. To just expand production when it's not necessary is stupid. And they're not doing it. So they keep, I don't know, $10 billion, and then they return $5 billion. Because they want to have a rainy day. Of course there's going to be rainy days ahead, and of course there's going to be capital needs. The world changes. I need new robots to build stuff. I need new factories. I need new equipment. I need more people. This is the reality of business. It's not the reality of liberal, negative, anti-Trump news reporting. This isn't a pro-Trump statement. But you have to think about this the way you try to give people the right idea if you were so hell-bent that Obama was going to destroy the world. And he tried. But business is business. And if you really were so anti-Obama that you couldn't see the forest through the trees, you missed a huge market rally. Just like now. We don't want to miss it. Sometimes the only way to really see things clearly, see things well, is to take a step back. Dial it back. You know, whenever I visit with somebody and or, you know, talk at the office and things like that, I know we got to take a quick break here, but and I see, you know, well, you know, how much TV are you watching? You know, that might come up in a conversation, you know, about watching news. I don't care what the news source is. Having the noise on all the time does not give clarity. I would really go so far to say that lying on a blanket in your backyard or a park and watching the clouds go by has a lot more clarity than the same newsreel you've already heard. I think that's a fairly easy argument. It's not saying bury your head in the sand. But it doesn't matter if you're listening to reasonable, balanced news. It's all bad, all the time. And all the commercials that run are all doom and gloom. You got to do this. You got to do that. What's in your wallet? What's in your safe? Blah, blah, blah. Why we would care what a washed up actor has in their safe is beyond me. But I don't know. I don't know why we care about the British royal family. Mind numbing to me. Or what the Kardashians are doing. So I don't understand fully the world that I live in, that's for darn sure. But I do know this. Sitting there thinking you're learning things and getting clarity about your portfolio because you're plugged in is not true. It leads us further from the truth, further from managing in an appropriate way. $10,000 from 1942 to $51 million. And you had to do nothing. That's what it required you to do, is nothing. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Please do give us a call. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436 is our number, 580-KIDO. And also, if you prefer email, it's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. And that's just fine. We'd love to hear from you either way. In fact, that kind of makes the show go. So that's your cue. Please do give us a call. You know, I started my offense of the week a while back. It really kind of tongue in cheek because I don't really get offended. I just don't. I just think that the world is not that offensive. I expect to be offended every day by somebody cutting me off, or even people that are close to me that I love and care about, that they may do something that is not quite, you know, perfect, and may be thinking of something else, or are irritated about something and answer in kind of a sharp way. That's life, right? I mean, it's, you know, and the idea that I walk around looking for offenses, like all these different colleges do with their new offense apps and stuff, you know, it's like you can immediately report an offense, somebody who inappropriately does whatever it is they do, right? Crazy stuff, right? And this kind of got started when I was at a meeting and I mentioned as a joke, of course, that I got the point. We're not a bunch of schoolgirls, you know, because it was the talking about, hey, give us your honest opinions and things like that. It's like, yeah, we got it. We'll give you our honest opinions. We're not like a bunch of girls, you know. Funny. Well, apparently it wasn't, because a 60-some-year-old lady later informed me about 3 hours later that she was offended by my remark. So I got to thinking, why in the world do we all spend so much time being offended? And it is crazy. So we've had a lot of funny ones, if they are funny. I don't know that it's really funny to be thinking about all these colleges and all the snowflakes, but anyway, so here it is. So I'm out at the, what they call it, First Thursday, right, which is a really cool Boise event. You know, you go through these, all these shops you maybe don't go through. Maybe they've got a sample of wine or something out, or a cookie or something. It's just a fun kind of a thing. Restaurants are doing specials, and it's kind of a fun thing to go out and do, right, and promote these businesses. There's this little gift shop in downtown. I probably shouldn't mention the name, right there on Main Street. And it's a really cool little shop, and I it's been a long time since I was in there. And I'm walking around there, and with my girlfriend, and we're looking around and looking at different stuff. And we go to the cart, and she's like, I've never been in here. This is so great. I can't wait to come back. And we get to the cards in the back. I said, oh, let's look at the cards. You know, they're funny, and you might be able to find one, you know, for somebody's birthday coming up or whatever, right? And there they are. Happy anniversary, F. Trump. I'm not kidding you. Happy birthday, F. Trump. The President of the United States. F. the President of the United States. That's a that goes for a gift card. And I'm like, I wouldn't expect to see that in San Francisco. Really wouldn't. Maybe I missed the F. Obama cards. Did I miss those? I think I must have missed those. And I just was, wow. And seriously, I thought this was the most honest reaction, was like, huh. From my girl. She's like, turns and goes, huh. Wow, I'm not sure I want to shop here. And it was like, yeah, I know what you mean. I just like, wow, I love it. Because I'm a buy local good. I love that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, if it cost me a nickel more for a card, I'd love to do that and support a place and find little unique gifts that only little places have, right? We all, you know, for the most part, everybody wants that. I don't need Amazon to drop everything on my doorstep and never leave the house. I want to support local business. But who thinks that's okay? I wouldn't think it was okay if it was Obama. This isn't a left and right. That's the President of the United States. Support him or shut up. You know, for those of us that have a more conservative bias, more libertarian, whatever you want to say, we moved on with life for the last 8 years. Didn't create F. Obama cards and think that's okay. It's crazy to me. But I think we've got to rise above this and think about what's really going on. So So I bring this up to also bring up this point before we take a break for news. If it's all bad all the time, and they're all after Trump, and they're all reporting bad, what do they have next? Doesn't it feel like it's changing? That the general population is just sick of it? Sick of the fake news? Sick of the everything is wrong? How is it so wrong if tax cuts get done? We're trying to deal with drug prices. Maybe something good's happening in North Korea and Iran and on trade. The economy's booming. Regulations are dropping. This guy's just kind of like doing stuff. How long do we get to be outraged and talk about how bad it is? I'm wondering if this isn't changing. And it's running out, the anti-Trump movement is running out of steam. We'll see. We'll see about that. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. Let's call us up. We've got 30 minutes left in today's program. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. Now it's time to join us on the phones or email. Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Please do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Bound to be a few questions out there, huh? Hey, I've got one here, and thanks for sending it. I don't know what the name is, but anyway, I've got your email. I inherited a U.S. savings bond. My accountant says that if I cash it in, I will have to pay a lot in taxes. Can I transfer the bond to a stock without paying the high taxes and just take a small amount out at a time? And the answer is no. I'm sorry. I wish that was possible, but you cannot swap a bond for a stock without incurring the full taxation of that. And you really can't swap out of bonds or stocks. You can, you can always change them, but that is always a trigger, potential trigger for capital gains. Potential because, of course, much of the money is in your IRAs and things like that, so you won't have to be worrying about taxes until you literally withdraw money from it. But a savings bond cashed in, you are going to have the deferred taxes. Now, I'm surprised. I would have thought upon an inheritance that they had to be cashed in. I wasn't aware that they could be moved to an individual and not paid taxes on. There is a way within the code, I believe, unless something has changed in the last couple of years, where you can exchange a savings bond for a Series E instead of double E bond. It's something like that where you can start taking your interest out. You don't defer anymore, but you don't have to cash it in. You can start receiving the interest. But these are very, very low interest vehicles. And so I guess my bottom line would be this. Take what you need out, reinvest the rest, and take the tax hit. Just get it out, move on. Because savings bonds earning a couple percent, you may not want to pay the taxes. I don't want to pay the taxes. Nobody wants to pay the taxes. But don't let the tax tail wag the dog. Sometimes we have to pay taxes. And I'm going to take that a step further and talk about how often this happens, whether it's a piece of property that somebody doesn't want to sell. They don't want to take care of it anymore. They're retired, and they're tired of people who are renting from them. They don't want to deal with it anymore. I wouldn't want to. Who would, right? Retirement doesn't sound like a lot of fun taking phone calls because the toilet's backed up. And they don't want to sell because of the taxes. It's like there's this huge penalty that they've just deferred all these taxes. And it is a big tax hit. I get it. It's all at one time. Boom. But there really isn't a disadvantage to deferring taxes. You think it's an advantage at the time to take all the write-offs that you have, to not pay taxes on the growth, if there is any. And then you reach a point where you finally need to make that kind of decision. It's time, right? It truly is time for us to decide to sell. So we've been deferring, and now I'm going to have a $30,000 tax bill. I can't face it, right? It's easy to say in the abstract, but it's really hard to pull that trigger, put the for sale sign, and move on. But trust me in this. You do it, You release that burden, you feel great the very next day, even as you write a check to the IRS. It feels great to unburden that. And it may, in fact, not even just be something you don't want to hold anymore, but maybe, in fact, you're talking about a case of, well, what if the property, I don't think it's going to go up anymore in value, or it's going to go up very little, or I need a lot of repairs. Or you have a stock that you don't think has a very bright future, but you just don't want to pay gain. Now, of course, we're aware. Of course, you don't sell something that with a dollar stock cost basis and an $80 share price when somebody's 98 years old. I wouldn't think, unless we need the money. But you have to be thinking in terms of not letting the tax tail wag the dog. So in this case, low interest earnings on the savings bonds, bail, get rid of them, move on, pay the taxes. You will be elated to just plain old move on to the right investment. Thank you so much. I appreciate the email. And again, our email address is dave@petsofinancial.net. Okay. Now, here's the other thing when we're talking about fundamentals. And again, we have been focusing on fundamentals. Why are we focusing so much on fundamentals? Because it helps us to stay and keep our eyes focused where we're going. Not all the noise. The world has so much noise. Think about a horse, right? We want to put blinders on this horse. We want to run towards fundamentals. We've got horses on our left that are wild and crazy and out of control. And then we've got people on the right, horses on the right. And they're over here just screaming and yelling about how bad things are and how horrible it is. What we are, we're focused moving forward. We can't see them. And that, to me, is what fundamentals do. Noise, 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 noise. We're focusing. We're dialing it out. We're dialing it out. That's what we're talking about, fundamentals. So I want you to understand this one little fundamental. We'll come back to it in a minute here because we've got Dean and Payette's going to has a phone call here. 94% of the countries around the world are expanding. 94% are expanding. Now, I'm pretty sure Zimbabwe or something like that isn't, okay? But I want you to understand this, too. This is even more important than what I just said. 99% of the world's GDP is expanding. 99%. 99%. That's the fundamental. We hate Trump. We hate Trump. We hate Trump. We hate Trump. All that mantra. Take a deep breath. Go past. 99% of the world's GDP is expanding. That's fundamentals. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Dean in Payette. Dean, thank you for calling. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dave, simple question, at least a short question. Is Tommy Ahlquist a rhino?
I don't know. That's a... how's that for a simple answer? I don't know. I don't know. He certainly doesn't have a conservative record. And I know. I can hear Kevin in the background going, you're avoiding the question. You're avoiding the question, right? Yeah, you're probably right. These three gubernatorial candidates that are mainly in the running here. It's always treacherous to pick a favorite. But it's a fair question to ask for somebody who has not been in politics. It's a fair question to ask, especially when they have a record of giving money to both parties. Right? I just think it's a fair question.
Yeah.
I'm not saying at all that he is not a conservative because he didn't vote for Trump or whatever the political argument is. I am saying it's up in the air because it is. There's no question it's up in the air. He has no track record to run to and say, you see, even though people are putting me down over here, this is how I voted in the legislature. right?
Yeah.
And it's a fact right. that he gave money to both parties. That's a fact. So I don't. Again, I'm not arguing one way or another. I'm just saying I agree with you. I don't know, and I don't think we can know that answer, if he is or not. I would certainly suspect that he's less conservative. Whether he's a rhino or not, that's another ball game altogether, in my opinion. People are free to be within the spectrum of a Republican Party to be more moderate or more conservative. They're certainly free to do that. But what we end up with is, you know, but as far as going to that extreme, no, I wouldn't, I don't think that's a fair assessment, nor an unfair question either. Okay?
Okay, I guess we'll wait and see then.
I guess we'll wait and see. Well, is it, you know, I don't know. That's a, but Dean, I appreciate the question. I don't have the answer. I don't have his voting record. How's that? There isn't one.
Yeah.
There is not
okay,
one.
Okay, well, I just gotta, you know, I mean, they say Trump came to both parties too when he was, you know, when he's in business because he had to grease the skids. So, you know,
yep,
I don't know
absolutely.
If that's totally makes him illegitimate, but if he's a John McCain, then I don't want him in the state, you know, so.
Right, I hear you. I don't know. Yeah,
right.
I hear you. But no, that's totally fair, and Trump was the same way. There's no question about that. None.
Right.
All right.
Well, you have a great weekend, sir. Have a good Mother's Day.
I'll do it. You do the same. Take care. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We've got to take a quick break here. When we come back, hopefully you'll give us a call. We will be right back. Hey, there's time here. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Appreciate you tuning in. Apologize for the phone today. Had a family situation, had to run off to and change plans from last month, or next month, I should say. So anyway, that's why you had to put up with it, and I hope it's coming through clear. And most importantly, the message of fundamentals and focus is coming through loud and clear. Right now, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Dan in Eagle. Dan, thank you for holding. Go ahead, please.
Absolutely. Let's talk about fundamentals and basics, David. This is Dan, your friend.
Dan, good to hear from you.
Coming into Mother's Day, I thought I'd read just a little something. Is that all right?
You got it. Fire away.
Okay. This is Why God Made Moms, Answers Given by Elementary School Children. First question, why did God make mothers? To help us out of there when we were getting born. How did God make mothers? He made moms just the same as he made me. He just used bigger parts. And I hope there's some mothers and fathers and children sitting around to your show. They might not call in, but they should be listening. Why did God give your mother to you and not another mother? It's because we're related.
I love it. Simplicity of a
child. What kind of little girl was your mom? I don't know because I wasn't there, but I guess she was pretty bossy. What did mom need to know about dad before she married him? Does he make at least $800 a year? And did he say no to drugs and yes to chores?
That sounds pretty good. That's a good start.
What does your mother do in her spare time? To hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? I would get rid of those individual eyes in the back of her head. And finally, the mommy test. The guys will like this one. I was out walking with my 4-year-old daughter. She picked up something off the ground and started putting it in her mouth. I took the item away and told her and asked her not to do that. My daughter asked why. Because it's been laying outside. You don't know where. It's been dirty and probably has germs, I replied. At this point, my daughter looked at me with total admiration and asked, wow, how did you know all that stuff? I was thinking quickly, all moms know this. It's part of the mommy test. You have to know it or they don't let you be a mommy. We walked along in silence for 2 to 3 minutes, but she evidently pondered this new information. Oh, I get it, she beamed. So if you don't pass the mommy test, you get to be a daddy. Exactly, I replied. With a big smile on my face and joy in my heart. David, I know that you've made your mother very proud. She's not with us anymore. I have a 90-year-old mother at home. And you know what? If it wasn't for our mothers, I know you have two daughters that are mothers. So to all the mothers listening, it's an important part of our lives.
It sure is, whether they're here or not. Yep, I appreciate it.
Yeah, the fundamentals.
You bet.
Anyway, enjoy your weekend.
Of life. Yes, thank you, sir. Okay. And thank you for the call. I appreciate it, my friend. Have a good weekend.
You bet.
Happy Mother's Day.
Bye.
Yep. Yeah, that's a great reminder, isn't it, of the real importance, right? Is not the finances. Oh, they're important. They're darn important to do the things we want to do in life. We need to get it right. And we do need to focus on the fundamentals. We really do. Things aren't bad. Things are really, really, really good. It just doesn't feel that way. You know, we are so amazingly blessed to be born in this time. With all the abundance, all the technology, all the wonder. The great ponderance for me, and I think many people, is why we are so discontented with so much. And I think that's part of this, all this fake news, all of this noise, social media. It just doesn't help us have any clarity at all. It really doesn't. It's important for us to get it right, to take a step back and see how much abundance there is. Otherwise, I don't know how you manage your finances if everything is always bad all the time. How do you ever be part of this great capitalist experiment that has created so much wealth? So much amazing beauty in art, science, technology. So much. And the only way I think is we have to dial it back and think about it and bring it back to home. And there's nothing more home than our moms. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.